What many people know about court procedures is learned from watching shows like Judge Judy. The show begins with a voiceover explaining that the participants have agreed to abide by the rules of the proceedings and the decision of the judge. The person bringing the complaint, the plaintiff, is identified. The person being sued, the defendant, is brought in. The complaint is read out. Both sides present evidence, usually some kind of documentation, and possibly the testimony of witnesses. The judge asks questions of the participants, reviews the evidence, and announces the decision. The same basic elements of a trial are presented in our gospel today in the parable. The plaintiff is identified as a widow. The defendant is only identified as her adversary. The judge identifies himself as one who neither fears God nor respects any human being. This case will not be decided on its merits, as the judge does not respect the rule of law. In fact, the dishonest judge makes his decision based on the persistence of the widow. In the ancient Jewish law court, all cases were like that, not just civil ones. If someone had stolen from you, you had to bring a charge against them. You couldn't go get the police to do it for you. If someone had murdered a relative of yours, the same would be true. So every legal case in Jesus' day was a matter of a judge deciding to vindicate one party or the other. Vindication here means upholding their side of the story, deciding in their favor. There were no law schools or courtrooms. Most cases were pleaded at the city gates. Religious cases usually required a priest, but other cases had a judge that was agreed to by the parties involved. One of the most unusual aspects of this parable is that it begins with a statement of interpretation. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary or losing heart. Jesus concludes this parable by saying, God will vindicate his chosen ones whenever they call out to him. If even a rotten judge like the one in this parable can be persuaded to do the right thing by someone who pesters him day and night until it happens, then of course God, who is justice in person and who cares passionately about people, will vindicate them. We'll see that justice is done. The parable assumes that God's people are like litigants in a lawsuit, waiting for God's verdict. What is the lawsuit about? The followers of Jesus are awaiting from God the vindication that will come when those who have opposed his message are finally routed. Christian history has demonstrated that while some progress has been made, the final vindication or victory is yet to come. So we persist in our prayers. Now, prayer in many cases is referred to as an exercise, which links it to what we do if we're trying to build up our bodies. So in the same way, we build up our souls through our exercise of prayer. And that's why Jesus says not to become weary. Well, often this kind of exercise is best done when we do it together. And that's one of the reasons we hold marriage in such great respect. It's a case in which two people come together and one of the things they do is pray. We will have a demonstration of that this morning as we have renewal of vows of Dan and Donna Brownrigg celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And this is not an easy task, which is why God never meant for us to do it alone. In our first reading, we hear how Moses also had a task he could not accomplish alone. As long as he could hold the staff of God up with his hands, the army of Joshua was winning the battle. But his arms grew weary, so they put a rock in place for Moses to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands. In this way, the victory of the Israelites was accomplished. This is also how our victory will be accomplished. We pray together here at Mass, and go out together into the world. And this is our mission. Today is World Mission Sunday. On World Mission Sunday every year, the whole church prays, united particularly for missionaries and the fruitfulness of their apostolic labors. The faith, the prayer, and the generosity shown on World Mission Sunday can transform entire communities. It will bring about the victory of God in the world. In January of this year, Pope Francis wrote a letter for this World Mission Sunday in the Jubilee. He included these words for us today. missionaries of hope are men and women of prayer, for the person who hopes is a person who prays. Let us not forget that prayer is the primary missionary activity and at the same time the strength of hope. So let us renew the mission of hope, starting from prayer, especially prayer based on the Word of God, and particularly the Psalms, that great symphony of prayer whose composer is the Holy Spirit. The Psalms train us to hope amid adversity, to discern the signs of hope around us, and to have a constant missionary desire that God be praised by all peoples. By praying together, we keep alive the spark of hope lit by God within us so that it can become a great fire which enlightens and warms everyone around us, also by those concrete actions and gestures that prayer itself inspires.